Hello, hello, you guys, and welcome back to Frothy, home of the fun, frivolous, lowbrow froth that your group chat excels at. You guys, it has been awful weather, and I am hopefully filming this now when the thunder has stopped, but if the mic does pick the thunder up, which I'm praying it won't, I am sorry, but I can't control the weather, so we're just going to press on, because I cannot find anywhere in my house where you can't hear it, so we're back in the usual recording spots, and of course we're here once again to talk about the best things in the world of pop culture, from celebrities to influencers and all of the nonsense in between. And you're of course joined by me, Elle, a London-based 27-year-old writer who spends a lot of time chatting and reading about the fun, silly topics that maybe your boss, your parents, your partner, whoever, question why you enjoy so much. If that sounds up your street, then this is your safe space to enjoy, dissect and binge on the frothy nonsense that brings you a smile. And yeah, how is everybody? How are you all doing? I have had a pretty good week, guys. This is going to sound ridiculous, but I went food shopping the other day and I managed to buy, and I managed to buy 15 bananas for about 40 pence because the supermarket decided they were all ugly and bashed up and no good to anybody. But I am someone who A, loves banana bread, but also B, loves a banana smoothie. So I bought them all for 40 pence and I've taken them home, chopped them up, and they're in the freezer, which... now I'm telling you about it, it sounds like the dullest story to have shared, but I was very excited at the time. You know, we're all living on a budget, so for me it was a win and a half, and I am still riding that high. But yeah, definitely an odd one to have started with, but I hope everyone is well. It's basically autumn in my books, and the coffee shops are bringing out the autumnal drinks. It's one of my favourite times of the year. I love a themed festive drink. And summer, the summer ones just don't hit like the autumn and winter ones do. So if you also agree, then I'm sure you're having a great time. I have had my first themed drink of the season and it was as good as I hoped. It was incredibly sugary. I was on some sort of sugar high for the rest of the day. I think incredibly annoying to everyone else I worked with, but I enjoyed it nonetheless. Right, but that is not what we're here to talk about. We are of course here to talk about all of the nonsense that's taken place over the last week or so. And if that sounds up your street, then let's dive right in with the best of the brain rot, which is the silly stories that got us talking this week. All right, you guys, and up first, we have the absolutely wild story that Anna Sorokin has been announced as one of the Dancing with the Stars celebs. If you don't know who Anna Sorokin is, she is, of course, Anna Delvey, con artist who was convicted in 2019 for pretending to be a wealthy heiress. She went to prison and she was released in 2021 and has been under house arrest ever since. During her years as a con artist, she swindled about $250,000 from friends and from banks, kind of under the premise that, you know, she already was from a very elite upper class society in Europe, and you know, she'd come across and she had all of this money, but for whatever reason she couldn't get access to it right now, and so she borrowed in inverted commas here, guys, she borrowed thousands of pounds from friends and banks under the premise that she'd pay it back and then use that money to fund the lifestyle that she claimed she already had. And it was, when she was arrested, it was huge news. I mean, Netflix have, they've made a film about her and everything, so you know, no small name by any means. But she has been announced as one of the headline acts for Dancing with the Stars, which is just kind of mad. She's been under house arrest since her prison release in 2021, and that's been in New York, and that house arrest was enforced by ICE, which is the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Department of the American government, and they are trying to deport her, and she is fighting that deportation, and while that is going on, she's under house arrest. And while currently I don't think she is tied to her home anymore, I believe she can leave her flat and sort of be within about 70 miles, I believe. She is not allowed to leave the state, which is wild because she's obviously been announced as a Dancing with the Stars contestant, and they don't film in New York, they film in LA. So they had to get special permission for her to be on the show from ICE, who apparently took about 10 days but did grant that permission, which means that she is now allowed to leave New York to go and film the show, the first episode of which is coming out next week. And guys, on a personal level, I feel a little conflicted about having her on the show. You know, yes, she's not violent, but she did very much steal from people and And I do feel the show is somewhat like a reward. Like, they're boosting her platform. They're giving her more publicity. It's hopefully a fun experience, although we obviously know from what came out about Strictly that maybe it's not as fun as we all think it is. But it feels like something that should be, you know, it's not punishment. She is famous for a crime, and therefore, because she is famous, she is able to go on this show. But this show, you know, it's a fun thing. This feels so much like a reward, and that feels very odd to me. On another level, though, it's such a clever idea to have her on the show. I mean, whoever booked her, I take my hat off to. Whoever had the brainwave to get her on the show, I just think is incredibly clever and knows what they're doing. Whether or not it's hate views or actual fans of hers, people will be watching her. They will come and watch the show. It will get bums in seats and eyes on screens. I have no doubt about it. I'm very impressed by all of that. But weird nonetheless, utterly bananas in some ways, if I'm going to be honest. She, of course, still has to wear the ankle monitor, which is part of her house arrest rules. And it's really quite funny because it's in all of the like promo press shots. So she's there in like this beautiful sparkly dress with these stunning high heels and then this black ankle bracelet. I did see one interview where her dance partner suggested that they might sort of bejazzle it to try and, you know, make it pop or sort of almost like blend it in, I guess, with the sparkles and the glitter of the show. Whether or not they actually do, I have no idea. But yeah, kind of wild. Really clever, but really, really odd. And I don't think I'm the only one feeling like that, because Whoopi Goldberg, who of course is like a legend in and of herself and obviously now is on The View, she talked about this announcement and she's not pro it at all, if I'm going to be honest. I think that's absolutely fair to say. She, you know, she has come out and said, look, you know, so many politicians speak about how there are so many people in America who are there illegally and who need to be deported, and, you know, they're very anti-illegal immigration. And yet Anna is there, currently there illegally. Like, they're trying to deport her and she is fighting it. And despite that, they have granted her permission to go on a show, which is just, it's just crazy that, you know, on one hand, the country is being told that, you know, illegal immigrants are such a problem. And yet this illegal immigrant has been allowed to take part and dance on the show. And I can understand her anger there. And I imagine she is voicing the thoughts and beliefs and concerns of a lot of other potential viewers as well. That being said, the show is definitely going ahead. And also, you know, you can already see the huge benefit or them reaping the rewards of having her on the show. People are talking about this like there's no tomorrow, in a way that I had to go digging to find out about the other contestants. And there are some big names in the lineup, guys. So she has drowned out all other gossip of that. And I think that shows the volume in which she can attract eyes, and I just think it's such a smart move for the show. Whether or not it means they'll beat their huge ratings and viewings they got last year, I don't know. Season 32 opened to 6.5 million views, obviously across multiple platforms. I believe it was both on ABC and Disney Plus. But that's mammoth. That is so many people sitting down to watch the first episode of the show last season. Whether or not she's a big enough name to make sure they hit that again or beat it, I don't know. I'm confident in saying that I think they'll definitely reach 6 million. Whether they hit 6.5, I have no idea. Like, that is, you know, in an age where there is so much to watch, I don't know if these like legacy shows are getting the same viewers. You know, definitely in the UK, I think it's fair to say that they're really fighting against the streaming services to get those kind of views. But I think someone like Anna, you know, if she doesn't get the views, I don't think anyone would, if I'm going to be honest. But yeah, absolutely huge. A clever move for sure. But yeah, as I said, she is absolutely drowning the rest of the lineup. And there are some great people on it, guys. So I thought I'd talk about two others who caught my eye and who I'm excited to see. And that is, of course, Stephen Nedorosic. And I have definitely said that wrong. I think I've said that with a bit of a Bristolian accent, if I'm going to be honest. And while we have family in Bristol, I am not from Bristol. But he is the pommel horse guy. He won the bronze medal for the Olympic American gymnastic team over the summer. If you don't know who he is, that's absolutely fair enough, because it's quite a niche sport. You know, he is a specialist in that area, so he didn't take part in any of the other gymnastic rounds. guys, you know, I've got a friend who's really heavily into gymnastics and I know she listens, and I am stumbling over my words because I cannot think. All I can think about how is I'm definitely talking about gymnastics incorrectly, and I know that she'll pick up on it, and I've got that in my head. So I'm a bit clunky here, but yeah, he is the pommel horse guy, and he has been sort of given this title because he was in the back of a lot of the TV shots of the men's gymnastic competition, and he was sat there, you know, hoodie zipped up, slouched in his chair, glasses on. For some reason, it looked like he was asleep, and everyone kind of, I think, thought he was a medic or somebody who was like on standby to move a piece of equipment as and when needed. But yeah, then it was time for the pommel horse, and he got up and he had this kind of like Clark Kent moment where he like whipped his glasses off, unzipped his jacket, and like strode over to the pommel horse, did like a 90-second routine, and finished with bronze. And you know, this guy who had been so nondescript before this was then like a record-breaking Olympic champion. I don't think America had won a bronze or any medal in this category before. So there was huge excitement. The celebrations were wild. And I can really see, you know, he has taken what effectively was kind of like 5 minutes of fame, because everyone was like, who the hell is this guy? This guy's amazing. And run with it. And obviously he has now joined the Dancing with the Stars lineup. And good for him. I think that's a wise move from his camp, and I'm excited to see how far he gets. I hope he goes further than sort of the first round, although there is often the case that, you know, athletes who are so honed and so trained in one particular sport or movement, so they struggle to then go into the dancing world because you're moving your body in a different way that maybe you don't have the muscles for, or your muscles are sort of trained to go the other way or whatever it is. I just remember we've had before with Strictly Come Dancing had people like cyclists who just haven't gone very far in the competition because, you know, yes, they're incredibly fit, but actually that what they excel at is not dancing, and it's not that particular type of movement and all of this and that. But yeah, excited nonetheless, for sure. And then of course I'm interested to see how Anna does, but I am so excited about the fact that Ilona Maher, who, I mean, I've talked about her before on this podcast. She is an American rugby player and she is incredible. I will hear no complaints about Ilona. She is also in the lineup. And guys, she's a huge name. Both, you know, on social media and online, she has a huge following. But within the world of sport, she is like a mega athlete. And the fact that I hadn't seen that at all in any of the headlines, that, you know, Anna has managed to drown her out. And I think that's amazing that she's getting more hype and more press than two Olympians. It's kind of crazy. If you don't know who Ilona Maher is, she obviously, as I said, plays rugby, but she's also very prominent online. She both posts rugby videos, but she also, you know, makes a real stance about the fact you don't need to have a certain body shape or a certain be a certain size or have a certain look to be considered, like, you know, beautiful, feminine or athletic or any of that. You know, really important messages, and she delivers them really, really well, and she's really funny to watch. So I'd recommend giving her a follow if you haven't already. And then while I was doing, guys, this deep dive into who the Dancing with the Stars lineup was, why I thought maybe that they had signed Anna, apart from the obvious reasons, is that a judge that I thought had just retired from, like, entertainment TV, Bruno Tognoli, and I've said that wrong, I know it, I can hear it in my head how it's meant to say it, and I'm not getting it right, sorry, Bruno, but I thought he had retired from, like, entertainment TV because he was on Strictly Come Dancing from 2004 to 2022. I just thought he'd retired, but no, I think he must live in America because he is now a judge on Dancing with the Stars, which blew my mind a little bit. And I am now sat here thinking, was I the only person not to know this? Did everyone else know this? Am I just being dense here? But yeah, kind of cool. There's like that link between the two shows. Really interesting, and a complete sidebar to what I had started talking about in this segment. But let me know what you think. Do you think it's right that she's been included in the lineup? I'm not sure, but I do think it's clever. And then, you know, apart from the obvious as in drawing in the views and the ratings, do you think there's another ulterior motive here to having her in the show? I wouldn't be surprised if she then launches a further reality star TV kind of career from this. That would be interesting to see. I think the confidence with which she conned those people, that like kind of slight level of delusion in some ways, and the obvious brains that go with it, I think would make for, I could see her building a reality empire if she's smart about it. That wouldn't surprise me at all. But yeah, let me know what you think. I'm really curious. I thought we'd had the end of her, but obviously not. So yeah, I will be keeping an eye on Anna, that's for sure. All right, you guys. And then up next, just a really, really odd one, which I debated talking about, but actually it's made me laugh. So I'm going to talk about it anyway. I don't really know how I've ended up on Irish social media. And I say that as in, you know, it's not just the occasional Irish creator I'm stumbling across, but currently most of the videos I am being fed, and most of the, not even videos, most of the sort of the suggested follows I am being fed are content creators born, bred, living in Ireland, which is lovely because I love the accent, but also I don't know what I engage with to make the internet think that I am also based in Ireland. But nonetheless, that meant that this week I saw what I think is quite a funny story. And I do understand there is a serious side to what I'm about to say, and I'm sure that for many involved it's incredibly frustrating. This is how I found out about it, and I found out about it from like the humorous side of things, and I mean you gotta laugh, you have to laugh at this. And that is, of course, the story about the Irish government's new and incredibly ill-advised bike shelter, I think is the best way to describe that. If you've not seen it, this bike shelter has now taken the internet by storm. I've also seen articles on the BBC and the Guardian, but basically they have built a bike shelter for the cost of £335,000, a huge amount of money, obviously taxpayers' money, and it's on a bike shelter, guys, that can only store 18 bikes. Obviously, you know, if anyone's ever tried to cram their bike into a bike shelter or, you know, onto a bike lock stand, you can always get another bike in there, or people definitely take that approach. So I think, you know, it's designed for 18, you can probably get more, but if you are being sort of, you know, a stickler for the rules and you're only getting 18 bikes into this bike shelter, that is a cost of €18,000 per bike. And I'm sorry, but you know, unless these are bikes that they're racing at the Olympics or the Tour de France, unnecessary, unneeded, extortionately expensive for what it is. It is made even funnier by the fact that this shelter is not weatherproof. It looks to only have like a roof and one wall. So, you know, yeah, there's a few sides missing there, arguably three. And so the wind, the wet, the rain, your bike is not covered. You know, you will come out of work some days with a soggy bike. There is no denying that. And Irish content creators, sort of comedic content creators, have taken this and absolutely run with it because, I mean, fair enough, they were served this on a platter, I would say, a gold platter nonetheless. Two that I really enjoyed were, and this is quite a humbling thing to have to say, but a video from Protein Boar Pappy's channel. I don't know if I'm saying that right. I don't understand what it means, but that's his handle. And he sort of made this little skit where he plays three different characters, the politician, the Irish government, and a handyman called Cousin O'Brien. And he mocks the entire build process and finishes the joke with a bike shelter he's made himself out of what appears to be like rulers, paper, and staples. And honestly, guys, it's about as structurally secure, as efficient at shielding a bike as the actual shelter itself. And then, of course, Garen Noon's video. And if you don't know Garen Noon, I'd definitely recommend giving him a watch. He is incredibly funny. At one point, he states that, you know, this shelter's got all the finest materials, see-through glass, bike racks, you name it, it's in there. And he goes on to even look up the price of a singular bike rack, which I think was about €160. So I'm not quite sure how they got to hundreds of thousands of pounds. And he isn't either, but definitely worth a watch. He goes on to call the wasted money fucking impressive, even for the Irish government. And I'll be honest, guys, this reminded me of something that I had completely forgotten about. But this is, of course, not the first time that the Irish government have maybe spent more money on something than they should have done. Though, of course, politicians being politicians, you'll always be able to argue that this was the correct amount of money to have spent on anything. But back in 2019, and I'm not sure if you'll remember this, but I think some of you definitely will, they mismeasured how big a printing press was for the Irish Houses of Parliament. And so when it arrived, they couldn't get it into its designated room. And rather than returning it or ordering a smaller one, I won't lie, guys, I've never bought a printing press. I don't know what sizes they come in, but this one was obviously too big, and I thought you must be able to get a smaller one. But rather than going in that direction, and this printer itself was already about €1 million. So, you know, this is not a small investment. They have spent already a colossal amount of money on this. They decided that the best thing to do was to knock down walls and widen doorways to get this printing press in, which pushed the cost of the whole thing up to over 2 million euros. So they more than doubled the cost they were already spending on the printing press itself, trying to get the printing press into the building, which is just bananas. I cannot believe anyone signed up on it, I'll be honest. And I think what I find funniest here is that it was picked up everywhere. Everyone was fuming because it's so much money to have spent on effectively correcting a mistake that actually you could have corrected by just returning the printing press. I have no idea how the comms team for the area where the bike shelter has been built didn't see the mayhem coming, didn't predict just how people were going to react to this inadequate, I'm going to be honest guys, inadequate, useless bike shed. I don't quite understand how there hasn't been some sort of counter campaign towards this. Having said that, I'm obviously on the Irish side of social media that is Irish content creators as opposed to Irish government. So maybe they have and I have missed it. Although you can also say that actually, you know what, the Irish government's common team, they're not the ones who decided to build the bike shed. They're not the ones who signed off on the plans for said bike shed. They could just sort of sit back and watch in horror as this thing came to life. So it could very much be that they've come to the conclusion of what can we actually do here? You know, we're not in control of the build. And the complaints are pretty legit. Like, they're not unfounded. I mean, either way, I think you can definitely see the funny side of it. I definitely recommend looking up a video or an article or two. It has tickled me. I think if I maybe lived in the local area, I wouldn't think quite like this. But yeah, utterly stupid, really ridiculous, complete nonsense. It was a bike shed, a really nondescript bike shed that should never have like got half the eyes it did. And it tickled me, so I thought I would share. Up next, you guys, we've got Popped a Pin, which is something that caught my eye this week and I shallow dived. I'm hoping to come back to because I definitely found it interesting, but I've done nothing more than give it a glimpse. And that is, of course, Blake Lively's piece in the September edition of Vogue. If you remember when we talked about it and with us, there were rumours that she was going to be the September cover, and she absolutely is. It's an incredible photo. And she has something like an 8-page spread in Vogue, which is just, I mean, it's huge. It's amazing publicity. The photos are gorgeous. She looks incredible. They're shot really, really nicely. I don't know too much about photography, but I think they look so, so good. They were directed by Baz Luhrmann, who, of course, is a filmmaker and who designed the setting for the magazine shoot. What I would say is that if you have seen the cover or you've read some of the article and you're interested, Vogue also did an article on the behind the scenes of the cover and the photo shoot. And that's a really interesting read as well. So I have read that. I haven't got all the way through the article just simply because it is quite long and I was reading it on the tube and I just had to get off for my stop. But an interesting read for sure. It's obviously been written, she was obviously interviewed. I imagine it was also written before It Ends With Us came out, and so before all of that sort of, you know, drama spiked, which kind of gives you like an interesting twist in the whole thing. I'll be honest, I think if you're interested in the Blake Lively It Ends With Us whirlwinds, then I would definitely give the article a read. You can find it on the Vogue website. It has been really well written. It is just, it's a really interesting glimpse into like what was going on pre-premiere. And sort of how she presents herself and how she's written about. It's obviously very clear that the interviewer is a very big fan of hers. But yeah, an enjoyable read for sure. I really liked it. I will be going back to it. But nonetheless, if you're interested, I recommend giving it a read. And then of course, guys, I've got some recommendations for you as always. And they're both food-based this week, which maybe gives you an inkling into how I was feeling when I was planning this episode. Now, I don't know how many of you are veggies or vegan or just, you know, a big fan of tofu, but what I would say is that I've recently tried Cauldron's hoisin tofu and it is really, really good. I often sort of make it with also some homemade hoisin sauce, so just doubling up on the hoisin there. But if I'm being lazy, I also use soy sauce and it is just really, really good. I am always a big tofu fan when someone else makes it. I am not very good at cooking it or flavouring it myself. But this is definitely a slight like cheat method, I guess you could say, because It comes pre-flavoured and it is really good, really tasty. I put it in the oven. We often have it with rice and veggies. 10 out of 10 would recommend. So if you're interested, I definitely buy a pack as and when you see it. Maybe wait for it to be on offer if you're not sure it is for you. And the other great thing is that it lasts absolutely ages if you don't open it. No, so if you buy it and you're not quite sure what you're going to do with it, you can have a ponder, you can have a think, and it will sit in your fridge and not go funky, which for me is always a benefit because I occasionally forget about things in the fridge and then they do, you know, they can go a little bit furry, if I'm going to be honest. But I very much know that that is not the case with the hoisin tofu, and I am forever grateful for that. And then my other recommendation is a complete sort of 180. It's the sweet side, it's a treat. And that is McVitie's Digestives with, it's like a collab with the Gold Bar. I'm not sure if you guys remember what a Gold Bar is. We used to get them in our little packed lunches. And I think it's effectively caramel chocolate, though I don't really know. We just used to call them gold flavoured, which is obviously not a thing. But yeah, so they're using the chocolate from the Gold Bars instead of milk chocolate on the digestive biscuits. And my brother and I have a real thing about trying new biscuit flavours as and when we find them. And I won't lie, I was not convinced at first. With the first one it wasn't for me. But he then did some research and it was suggested we put them in the fridge. And guys, they are so much better cold. And that is saying something because I don't normally like cold food. I am known for preferring a lukewarm room temperature drink as opposed to like an iced drink. But I'd definitely give these biscuits a go, but I put them in the fridge first. And yeah, really, really fun, kind of tasty. Yes, I will definitely be rebuying both of them at some point. And so if you are interested, I'd recommend giving them a go as well. If you got this far, thank you so, so much. It's obviously a very small, very independent podcast. Although exciting to say that we now have listeners in London, Oxford and Norwich, according to my stats. So hi guys, thank you so much for listening. If you liked what you heard, then please subscribe so you're the first to know when next week's episode drops. Or give us a follow on Instagram at frothypod. I post some really random stuff on there. It's normally just the best bits of the internet. But, you know, there's some other treats coming, so I'd recommend giving it a follow. And I'd love to see you there. Thank you so much for listening, and hopefully I'll be in your ears next week.